Good afternoon. I call the House Higher Education Finance and Policy Committee to order. I will note for the record that we do have quorum. My microphone is on. My voice is a little soft today, but so the first order of business is the approval of the minutes from February 11th. Representative Robbins, have you looked at the minutes, and would you move the approval of the minutes of February 11th?
Yes, Madam Chair. I move the minutes February 11th. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Robbins. Any discussion to the minutes? Okay. Seeing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, say nay. The motion prevails. Great. So today we have a presentation from our three tribal colleges that we've given some O&M to. So I'm very excited to hear from them. And first up, they are already at the testifier stand. We have Red Lake Nation College. So I will start with Chief Dan King, if you want to introduce yourself to the committee and begin your testimony.
Bonjour. Megazins, Nindashinikas, Jangweshe, Nindude, Matabimu, Nindunjibo. What I just said there was our traditional Ojibwe introduction. I was telling everybody that my Ojibwe name is Megazins, or Little Eagle in English, and my family's from the Mink Clan in the town of Redby. My English name is Dan King, and I'm president of the Red Lake Nation College, and also very honored to be one of the seven hereditary chiefs from the Red Lake Nation. So I'm very honored to also sit on the tribal council. Today, I want to thank Chair Rarick and all the committee members for inviting us back. We've been to the committee several times over the years, and I feel like we're really getting our message across about the excellent work that we do in Indian country. So just to tell you just a really quick little bit about myself, I grew up in the projects right there, the Dundon Terrace on the west side, St. Paul, right next to El Rio Vista Playground. I think it's called the Wellstone Center now. So I grew up there, went to Humboldt High School in St. Paul, and then on a scholarship, went to St. Thomas, majored in business, and then was very fortunate enough to go to Harvard University at a master's degree. So I'm very honored that I was able to work out of my situation that we grew up in, and now I'm giving back to my tribe, the Red Lake Nation. I spent many years working for casino management, business development on Indian reservations, economic development. So I come to this job, I've been here 15 years now, wow. 2010 I started, 2025 now. And I come to it from a business model. So I think if you look at accountability, return on investment, and efficiency, that's the way I look at it. And I think the business background is very good for managing colleges. So that's kind of the what we wanted to do today is to give you an update. And I think you have the handouts, right, from the presentation. So we'll be talking about our performance update. What is the state getting back from that investment in the tribes? Talk about return on investment, and then we'll give you a quick update on our Minneapolis site. And then I also have two students with me today, Ed Visner and Alyssa Fisher-Visner. So they'll be telling their stories really quickly. So there's a picture of our beautiful campus up in Red Lake. So I invite everybody here to come to our college, either up in Red Lake or downtown Minneapolis. So anytime you have any available time, let me know and we can easily set that up. So we are really transforming our communities at the tribal colleges. We like to say at Red Lake Nation College, we're a great place to start because we serve a unique market niche that nobody else serves. That is, we are like a two-year community college for natives. And I like to say we're in the people business. We build people up. We build up their academic skills, their confidence, so that after 2 years, they say to themselves, you know what? I think I can go to the U of M, or I can go to Metro State, or BSU, or anywhere they want to go, or Augsburg, or Dartmouth, like some of our students have transferred to Dartmouth. So once our students are given the opportunity, we feel they can excel anywhere. We have over 370 students now at Red Lake Nation College. We had 36 graduates in 2024. We'll have 45 graduates in 2025. And our enrollment has been going up 47% a year in the last 4 years. Where many schools are stable or going down and closing, we are growing fast. And our vision isn't just for people to get a two-year degree and stop. We want them to get a four-year, master's, and beyond, and then go back and help their native communities. So we call ourselves here in Minneapolis, Red Lake Nation College Without Borders, because we serve students anywhere. So we have a HyFlex model where they can either go in person or online depending on their situations. So we're a public school, so we have open enrollment. What that means is all you need is a high school diploma or GED to come to our school. So we provide access and opportunities for Red Lake members, for all natives, and really anybody. You don't have to be native just to come to our school. So we serve a lot of mostly low income. So here's really what makes us special. Here's what we do better in educating natives in higher education than other schools. This is our secret sauce, our special recipe. Like everybody has that special recipe, right, on things? Well, this is ours. Small classes, one-on-one, personalized attention. Our average classes are about 15 to 20 people. Some of them get up to 30, but since our students are mostly first-generation college students, like myself, I was the first one in my family to ever go to college, we don't have that uncle or parent or anybody who can help a student. So all of our staff and faculty serve as that mentor. And 70% of our staff and faculty are native, which I find very impressive. Our high school up in Red Lake, which is right on the reservation, it's 95% non-native. The difference is you have to actively recruit and seek out qualified natives. So that's what we do. And then we have a support system for students. We offer counseling, free tutoring. We have an emergency fund. So let's say their car breaks down or their lights get turned off because they can't pay the bill. We have emergency funds that help with that. We have a food shelf that has been really getting intense use lately for our students. We have the highest level of accreditation possible through the Higher Learning Commission, and we have to meet the same exact standards as these excellent schools like Notre Dame, University of Minnesota, University of Michigan. We have to meet those same exact standards as those schools. We offer ease of transfer for our students. So we have articulation agreements with every four-year school in the state, U of M, Metro State, Bemidji State. So our students have pathways. So when they say, I want to transfer to the U of M, they just say, I'm a student at Red Lake Nation College, and all their credits transfer seamlessly. All the tribal colleges have this, all the tribal colleges in Minnesota. So we're an excellent feeder system. We work well. We set up our whole academic structure so it meets with the MNSQ system. So all of our credits transfer easily. Here's some of the best benefits for students that I think. One of them is we offer no student loans at our school. We only offer grants. So we are able to do this through the tribal support that we get from our tribes. So Red Lake provides about $1 million extra a year for student scholarships and for support for our tribal college for operations. So our tribe is committed. Our tribe built a $12 million facility on our reservation that's 100% from the tribe, and they spent the money to buy the buildings in Minneapolis for us, $4.2 million. So through that commitment, that's how we're able to do that. The average debt for a four-year student, a graduate nowadays, is about $38,000. So our students at least finish 2 years with no debt. If they go to Metro State or BSU or U of M, like my daughter goes, I think our current bill is about $33,000 a year. So you might have to take out some loans at that point, but for the first 2 years, no. We also provide a tech backpack, which gives them a free backpack and a laptop with internet access the whole time that they're in their four-year degree. And we started that during COVID. It worked out so well that we said we have to continue this, and we'll find the money and raise the money, but it's really made a huge difference for our students, since many didn't have laptops and a lot of them didn't have internet at their homes. So, all right, what's the result of all this? We say we're doing this special recipe. How's it working? Well, here's our three-year graduation rates. So for two-year public school, Red Lake Nation College, Look at where we started when I started in 2010. It wasn't that great, 8%. We made a big jump in 2019, and then 43% in 2022, 48% in our numbers right off the press, 53% graduation rate for Red Lake Nation College. How does that stand up across the country? Well, if you look at the national two-year public average from 2022, this is the last year we had iPads, well, for everybody. So 34%, Red Lake Nation College that year was 43%, but we have since climbed up to 58% or 53%. So, you know, we made some pretty good strides even in the last couple of years up to 53%. So I'm very proud of that fact that we just had our recent accreditation visit, and the HLC told us that Red Lake Nation College is among the top 10% of two-year public schools in the country. So I'm very proud of that fact that we're able to do that through our secret sauce. So how are we doing this? This is a big reason right here. We focus all of the funding that we get on academics. Usually in the nonprofit world, 60 to 70% of the funding, it should be spent on whatever the nonprofit works on. Since ours is academics, we want to focus all of that funding on academics. In 2022, 75%. In 2023, 72%. Our annual goal is 70%. That's our minimum that we shoot for. So how did we spend that last 2 years? We were funded through the state from 2023 to 2025, the two-year biennial, $1 million a year for each tribal college. So we get $2 million for that year. That's how Red Lake Nation College spent ours. You can see, you know, we offer the small classes, a lot of one-on-one attention that takes personnel. That was 67%. You see benefits, utilities, contracted services like financial aid service that we utilize, our Canvas software for online students, repairs and maintenance for the facilities, and technology. When we did our Minneapolis site, as I mentioned, the construction was 12 months, and we also got a $3 million state bond. And this funding, by the way, it's been life-saving. And right now, we're looking at the federal level of getting anticipated cuts of 10 to 20% for our tribes in our tribal colleges. So we are tightening our belts already and getting ready for that. But here's where that $3 million bond came. If you remember, like I said, our tribe paid $4 million for those buildings. And then we used our college development funds that we raised and some COVID money that we got from the feds. So that was $8 million. So it should have cost $12 million. That should have been the cost. But remember during COVID, they had the material shortages and everything that was getting built went up in price. So we got hit by that too, about 25%. And the state came in and saved us with that $3 million bonding bill a couple years ago. So that really saved us. We could have still finished the building, but it wouldn't have been as good as it ended up being. And then there was some added cost of furniture, fixtures, and equipment and technology. So it ended up being a $16 million facility, but it's all paid off. So we have no debt on that. So here's just a quick, and these are a lot of pictures, but we expanded to serve. There's 8,000 Red Lake members in Minneapolis, which is why we came down there. And then there's over 50,000 natives in the Twin Cities. And I'm not sure if everybody realizes, but it's one of the largest urban centers of natives in the country. But there's no tribal college anywhere in the country. So Minnesota is the first to have a major tribal college in a major urban city in the country. And so we did a market study, and we found out the location had to be perfect. So we're right on the metro, the train, the bus lines, and it's kind of an up-and-coming section. We wanted to honor the old and the new. I love those old buildings when they fix them up. And it's, you know, like brick and then wood and, you know, but the new steel. So we had a lot of natural light coming in. So we blended the old and the new. There's the location. You can see right across from U.S. Bank Stadium. We could almost throw a rock and hit the university or the stadium. It's so close. But there's, you can see the metro line is right there. Train. That's what it looked like before. So you can see it wasn't that impressive. And there's the aerial view. So then here's what it looks like now, after we did that renovation. So it's pretty impressive. And then we have that third floor area overlooking the stadium. And we rent that out, too, for extra revenue. So everything we do is we're trying to look for new revenue sources. So those lights you see in those in that building right there, we're going to do that for the second floor on this building. There's a nice LED lighting. So on Viking game days, when they play good, we turn the lights on purple. So since we're right there. Yeah. We hadn't had those lights on at the end of the year that much. But and there's look at the views. I mean, so that's basically the interior looking out. And that's how close you are. That third floor, we have a folding door that opens up. So and we make some good additional revenue from renting this out. So for weddings, corporate events. And so Viking game days, of course. And we actually hosted the National Indian Higher Education Consortium meeting in downtown Minneapolis at the Convention Center in 2024. So all the tribal colleges helped host that. And so we had almost 2,000 people. So this really helps with the revenues that we do that. Heather was there. She remembers that. So, but that was the performance. That's our students and community members did that amazing performance. And then I'm also on the American Indian College Fund Board. And so we took students out. Oh, look at my batteries dying. I better wrap it up. So we had some students that came out there and participated in that event. And they actually asked them to do a photo shoot. So they ended up being in that. So there's some of our students that we took with us on those trips. And then we were in Times Square. And so that was pretty impressive. There's our graduation right in front of our college up north. We really put on an excellent graduation ceremony. And then this was just last week. We were with Representative Stauber's office in Washington, D.C., our senators, convincing them that we need to get the new funding. And we're also telling them that we're not DEI group. Tribes are separate in that, you know, we're sovereign nations. We have the treaties and we have a tie-in with the legal relationship with the U.S. government. So we were basically educating and we got everybody to agree with us. Actually, Senator Murkowski from Alaska, she wrote an awesome letter that stated the clear differences. So a lot of the Republicans are a lot of our best friends and supporters. And then there's Tina Smith and some of our other groups. All right, with that, I will turn it over to our first student who is going to give you a quick, tell you his story, and that would be our student, Ed Visner.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and continue with your testimony. And I will note, too, that we have Representative Keeler that's joining us at the table. And normally we don't do that, but I will absolutely have her at the table because she was pivotal to make sure that you got the funding that you needed and hadn't gotten, I think, in all of state history. So she has joined us in solidarity with you. So, again, please state your name for the record and continue with your testimony.
Hello. Can everybody hear me okay? Okay. My name is Eddie Visner. I am a student at Red Lake Nation College. My family is Red Lake. I am Red Lake. I was born and raised here in the urban area, though, Minneapolis. I am 54 years old. I came back to school about 3 years ago after COVID. I had spent 25 years in gaming at Native Casinos, which was an excellent experience. COVID, they made some changes, and it was time to move into another direction. I had the opportunity, all my children were growing up, and to go back to school, something, a promise that I had made to myself, my mother. My mother was a college graduate, and I went to Bemidji State for a short time in 1989. One semester, promised her I'd always go back, moved back home here, found a good job. Back then, you could do that. You didn't need, you know, a whole college degree to find a nice job back in those days, you know. And I never went back. But I had promised her that I would. She was worried that I would not go back. And so I'm fulfilling that promise to my mother that, yes, I'm going back to school. I'm going to graduate. And it's been an excellent opportunity. I would say that being at Red Lake College, I wouldn't want to be anywhere else for myself. Being Ojibwe culture, focus, Ojibwe language, Ojibwe tradition, is something that is in my heart, you know, and strengthening my language, my cultural connection is vital to myself and my children. And I know my mother would have loved that. And as far as me and my daughter this year are going to graduate together, which is kind of neat, you know. Mm-hmm. You know, I guess I'm playing it down. It is cool, you know. But it's been just a great experience for myself, being 54 years old and haven't been in school in a long time. There was a lot. School had changed. So updating all these technical skills, which was really the hardest part. There were some things about it that school is easy, like writing papers today. You don't really need a notebook and a pen or a typewriter. You know, everything is done online. So these were a lot of adjustments for myself. But it was excellent. And Red Lake College was very supportive, very helpful. I don't know if I'd have been successful at a different two-year college, a regular two-year college, like I had been, or even Dunwoody or anything like that. It was really a home experience. And that I greatly appreciated. And another part of me coming back to school was to get my children to come back to college with me. They did not go to college. I did not stress it when they were in however, I got one and working on some others. And I wanted to put a focus on, like Dan said, our graduation rate is high at Red Lake Nation College. And, you know, life has been an improvement for the 100% for all of our graduates at Red Lake. They built a lot of self-confidence. There's a lot of resilience. I want to say that they've improved their economic status. It's for our graduates, it's been 100% turnaround. And for most TCUs, it's in that area. But Red Lake, we've really improved the lives of a lot of Red Lakers. And that we're going to continue to do that. Like Dan said, we're growing. My future goal is to work with Red Lake College, stay involved in Indian education, recruit, and with those expanding needs of staff, we're going to need some more of these graduates to come work for us. So with that, I'll pass to Alyssa here.
Hello, can you hear me? Okay. Bonjour. Alyssa Fisher Visner, Indigenakaz, Mukwa Ndudame, Kakabi Kong Ndunjaba, Minawa Nda. Hello, everybody. My name is Alyssa Fisher Visner. I am Bear Clan from the Red Lake Nation. I'm Red Lake enrolled. However, I have always lived in Minneapolis, so I say that I'm from the Twin Cities area. As an urban native, I have never lived on the res, and I don't have as strong of a cultural connection because of that. So in going back to college myself and coming to Red Lake Nation College, this has strengthened my cultural connection and given me more knowledge that I would have never found in any other place. There is a strong emphasis. It is mandatory to take two levels of Ojibwe language. I have now completed three levels of Anishinaabe Mo'en. And this is vital to also being connected to and tied into our culture. You can't fully understand the culture without knowing the language, and so that language revitalization is amazing. I also am very grateful for our staff that teach at our college. They're wonderful. I also would not have had the opportunities that I have had here at Red Lake Nation College. We have a President's Club where if you meet the GPA average of 3.7 or higher, you are eligible to join. With that President's Club last year, I was able to go to Washington, D.C. and be a part of the AHEC Legislative Week for tribal colleges. That was amazing. I could have never seen myself going to Washington, D.C. or meeting our own representatives in such an impactful way. And we actually succeeded in getting some funding for STEM programs. Speaking of STEM programs, I plan to, after graduating this spring, transfer to the University of Minnesota. I want to pursue a bachelor's in environmental Policy and Systems Management. So with that, I am extremely grateful that all of our curriculum is transferable. It is going to completely transfer to the U. Love that. It's also been completely covered. My dad and I are going to leave our 2-year with no debt, and that is incredible. Our small college has made it so that this is the most heard and valued I've ever felt in an educational experience. I hardly graduated high school. I just did not enjoy my time there. But here I really do care about everything that we are being taught, and it motivates me to continue my education. With that, I am so grateful, especially like I get to go to school with my dad. Who can say that they do that? So coming out of a 2-year debt-free is amazing. Then I want to pursue my bachelor's and hopefully continue on. The school has also hired me. I am a facilitator here, so that is essentially like a teacher's assistant. And even when I leave Red Lake Nation College, I hope to continue to work with the college and help students succeed, especially in math or STEM, science programs, technology. Those are the hardest ones. And there's definitely a gap with natives and some of that, but we're closing that, I feel, and I love to be a part of it. In the future, I hope to work more with the tribe. My dad and I have both worked for casinos. However, I don't think this should be the only economic opportunity for natives out there, and I would love to see what more we can do, especially within agribusiness, food sovereignty, and other measures. Miigwech, or thank you for listening.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I will be really quick. First of all, to Chief President King, it's pretty cool that you get both of those titles. Yeah. Most of us could only dream of one. Just curious, and if forgive me if I missed it, what are the sort of most popular most frequent degree programs that students at?
Right now at Red Lake Nation College, we basically have a 2-year liberal ed. So our goal is to get them their general eds out of the way. We are looking at we're adding more business courses because that's one thing I would like to see for more natives to be going into business and science. We don't have enough natives in those areas. So for me personally, that's what I would like to see. But we're offering those expanded. So we'll probably have those within the next year or two.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Coulter. Representative Robbins.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Chief, for being here. And thank you to the students. I'm so happy to see this. And it's an honor to meet you. And the work that you are doing is incredible. And will leave such a lasting legacy. I grew up I'm originally from Crookston, but then my family moved to Upper Michigan, and I grew up in Ojibwe Reservation. And I saw many of my classmates leave because there was no college option in our town. And now there is a tribal college there as well, and it's made an incredible difference. And so I just want to celebrate your family doing this together and the work of the college and the community and really having a vision for what it will mean to the long-term economic survival of the tribe, not only economically, but the language and culture. Back when I was in high school, the two languages that were taught in my high school were Ojibwe and Finnish, because that was sort of the makeup of my communities. And so I've always strongly supported preserving and protecting the language, because it's so vital, as you said so beautifully, to really knowing the culture. So thank you for what you're doing. It's just an honor to hear your presentation and learn more about it. Thank you.
Thank you for the comment. Yeah, I think one of the biggest things I think that helps us with that secret sauce we were talking about is when we had our grand opening in Minneapolis, a Star Tribune, a reporter asked one of our students, what do you like best about the college? And that student said, I never had success at other schools, but when I come into Red Lake Nation College, every day I feel welcomed and seen and recognized. Too many of our native students are invisible, and they disappear in the big the big schools and the big systems. So for something to be tailored to them and able to connect with their language and culture, that has the pride of their heart and it builds them up. And that's what we say when we say we build up people. We build up their pride, their self-confidence, knowledge of themselves, and that makes all the difference in their success.
Thank you, Chief King. We have another question from Representative Duran.
It's not really a question. It's more of a comment than anything else. This is my first time hearing this presentation, and I'm very excited for you guys. And Chief King, you're on your way to some very good things, I believe. And I appreciate that, and I'm in support of you. So,
big wish.
Thank you. And Representative Duran, do you want to tell him where your district is, where you serve? I think it might be important for them to hear.
Yeah.
Representative Duran.
I represent District 2A, which is all of Beltrami, well, most of Beltrami County and the Red Lake Indian Reservation. So that is in my district. So I appreciate what you guys are doing, and congratulations on your guys' graduation. So.
Thank
Chief
you.
King, those are high praises from the new representative that represents you. He's very outspoken, and I really appreciate those words. So any other questions? We do have a couple minutes left that we could either thank them.
Madam Chair, can I make
Chief
one more
King,
comment?
Closing.
I just wanted to make a comment to honor Representative Keeler for all her hard work in helping us get the operational funding. And like I said, the operational funding has been life-saving for us the last 2 years. It has made all the difference and helped us achieve these incredible numbers, you know, through that, the personnel that we've needed. You know, most of our staff and faculty, they might have two or three different jobs they're doing, you know, just as you know, and that makes it difficult. So that operational funding and then the $3 million bonding that helped us complete Minneapolis, without Representative Keeler, there's no way we'd have been able to achieve that. So, miigwech for all your being a champion for us.
Thank you, Chief King. That's why she's at the table with us. Normally, we don't allow members, if you're not on the committee, to sit with us, but I could not say no to Representative Keeler because, of course, she needs to be here and hear your presentation and be up close and personal. So, thank you for acknowledging her and her hard work. And we support the work. It's just been amazing. And I'm so pleased that you've gotten to a graduation rate of 53%. It's just amazing. It's shocking. So we're so pleased and that you're the top 10% in the country. It's amazing work for just $1 million a year. That's a pretty good return on investment, I think. Any other final questions or comments? Otherwise, we'll move on to the next tribal college. Okay, seeing none, we'll invite the next tribal college. Thank you, great. Chief Thank King, you. And your wonderful students that are multi-generational.
Big wish to everybody.
Thank you. Next up, we have Leech Lake Tribal College and Community College. Dr. Montgomery, welcome to the committee. We are so excited to hear your presentation and what the $1 million a year were able, what it was able to do for your tribal college. We're very excited. So when you're all settled in, go ahead and state your name for the record and continue with your testimony.
I just want to make sure we get, oh, there we go. Well, it told me I'm going to have presenter view, but I guess I'm on my own with these. All right. So my name is Helen Montgomery, and how does one follow Chief Dan King? One introduces oneself in two languages. So, Buju, Helen Montgomery, Indigenous, and Shalom, Ani Laya, Bat Velvel. So thank you, everyone, for having us here. Thank you, for Madam Chair. And I wasn't sure what information to share, so I kind of threw the kitchen sink into my presentation. I'm a fast presenter. I usually try to stick it under 2 to 3 minutes, so if I go too fast, stop me. Again, thank you so much for having us here, and I want to begin by thanking Representative Keeler for her work. Without you, this would never, the funding that we are receiving would never has happened, and And it has been, you want me to do, see that? I got you. Hang on now. From the beginning. Where'd I go? All right. Sorry about that. So again, without Representative Keeler, the funding that we received from the state would never have happened, and it has been just a blessing to us to have it. And I'll talk a little bit about what we've done with the funding as I move towards the end of my presentation. So it's not up. It's not up.
So Dr. Montgomery, we do have the handout in front of us. I'm not sure what happened with our technology there, but if you want to...
Awesome. Slide number two.
Slide number two. All right. We are with you, Dr. Montgomery.
All right. Well, I taught for 16 years. Let's see if I can get through this. All right. So Leech Lake Tribal College is a public land grant institution. We're located in... That's a slide with our building on it. That we're located in Cass Lake, Minnesota. The college was established in 1990. We were designated as a land grant institution in 1994. In 2006, we became accredited by the Higher Learning Commission, and we are continuing to hold our accreditation. Our accreditation has never been suspended or revoked. We have been accredited since then. I am a peer reviewer for the Higher Learning Commission, so I get to also visit other colleges, and we have a accreditation visit coming up, a four-year comprehensive accreditation visit coming up on April 28th and 29th of this year. And by the time you see me next, I will have fully gray hair. slide number three. Our mission is to provide a quality higher education grounded in Anishinaabe values. We really provide an excellent education, but we also add a cultural and self-connection component, what I call, and kind of a self-connection component to our education. Probably one of the most rewarding experiences for me as a college president is to hear our students say that when they come to the college or when they came to the college, they learned about themselves, they learned about their identity, they learned about their language. And I agree with this, the young person who came before me, you cannot know a people without their language. And language is something that we emphasize and teach. Like Red Lake Nation College, we have a requirement that everybody, bless you, takes at least one Ojibwe course. Many of our students go on to take more. So hearing students say that they found a piece of themselves that they didn't know existed or didn't know what it looked like resonates with me, because that's my personal experience about my own culture, my own language, but also is an extremely rewarding experience as a college leader. Slide number four, our programs. We have quite a few programs in the college. We have an Ojibwe language program that we just added in the fall of 2024. You want me to unplug and plug in again?
Try it.
Let's try it. we have an Ojibwe language program. We just added that. It's been approved by the Higher Learning Commission. We have an Indigenous leadership program, a liberal education program that is one of our most popular programs, and you have some kind of stats in your presentation. We have 7 articulation agreements for that program with the Minsk-U institutions. We have an early childhood education program, and I'm really excited about this program because this program is getting a little bit of an infusion of funds and revitalization, because we have also developed a indigenous-based teaching early childhood certificate that we are going to start offering. We train, President Shepherd, help me out, CDA Thank you. We train staff, our Head Start staff, for CDA certificates to infuse the community with early childhood educators. We know that that's a huge issue in all communities. That's something that the college provides. We have a law enforcement program. I actually am really excited about our law enforcement program because we finally figured out why nobody was going into law enforcement a couple of years ago. And the reason they weren't doing it is because they didn't have the money to go to Hibbing, to the Skills Academy. So we sourced scholarships from the tribe, from the Lecheg Band of Ojibwe. And the first year that we did that, we sent the 5 law enforcement graduates to the Skills Academy, and 4 of them are now working in law enforcement. I believe one of them works for White Earth Nation, one of them works for Leech Lake Nation, and the others are working for counties. So I was really happy to figure that out. And they also weren't getting physical conditioning, so we were able to leverage some of our HERF funds and some of the Minnesota state funds to buy some gym equipment for our law enforcement students to do conditioning. We also have a robust trades program. During COVID, we realized that everybody was really seeking out micro-credentialing, so we trained our faculty to provide those. We have a 1-year carpentry and electrical technician program as well. Slide number 6, the one that says our graduates. We've also trended up with our graduation rates. During COVID, obviously, graduation rates fell. We've had 2 of our 2023 was actually 48 graduates. We had our largest graduating class in 2023. We're trending just about there in 2025. Most of our graduates, almost half of our graduates, major in lib ed STEM. Many of them double major in lib ed STEM and something else. Those graduates mostly transfer to 4-year degrees. We have recently redesigned our lib ed STEM program to be an indigenous science program with several emphases in forestry, human behavior because that's what I do, but it's not, and IT. Accreditation. So as I mentioned, we can just skip right through that. The accreditation slide just outlines our accreditation. We're accredited by the Higher Learning Commission. This is similar to most of the, well, I think every institution in Minnesota is accredited by the HLC. Just a little bit about what our students look like. We're now at the LLTC student demographics slide. Our students are fairly split between male and female. Sometimes we have a little bit more female students. Most of our students are Native American or Alaska Native. We run about between 90% and 86% Native enrollment. Our majors, most of our students, I already had a major kind of breakout for you on the previous slide. Lib Ed STEM is very popular. Ever since we introduced our electrical certificate, the first year we introduced our electrical certificate, we had, I don't remember if it was 5 or 7, but we had 5 or 7 graduates graduating in that and going on to, either apprentice at union level or going into other construction or building type industries. So I was really happy to see that that program was successful, and I was happy to see that there was interest in the program. So I put a couple of just fun slides where our students come from nationally. Most of our students are from Minnesota. We have students from as far away as Oregon, New York, Philadelphia. We have students from California as well. We have quite a few students right now from Texas. They came up to play basketball here. Our students locally come from mainly the Leech Lake Reservation area, although obviously our colleges admit everyone and anyone is welcome to enroll. So I want to shift a little bit about some and talk about some of the challenges that we have as a college, I have as a president, and especially and most importantly, our students have as college students. So one of the, well, not unique things, because the federal government has a classification for it, but we are located in a food desert. I'm sure everybody here knows what that means, but a food desert, a rural food desert, is where at least 33% of the population or more are 10 miles or more away from a affordable grocery store. One of the challenges our students face is transportation, but we also just sometimes don't have the capacity or ability to obtain just simple things like food and home goods. So some of the barriers, we're now on the barrier slide. I'm sorry, I didn't number my slides, so I'm having a hard time with numbering them. Some of the barriers, some of the kind of more obvious barriers or barriers that we're very aware of for our students are transportation. The Leech Lake Reservation is a scattered reservation, so there are communities where it takes an hour to an hour and a half to get from that community to the college. So we try to help the best that we can. Unfortunately, right now, and this is something, again, you know, when we go into kind of infusion of funding to the college, this is something that we have thought about, is transportation for our students, not buying everybody a car, but having a shuttle where, you know, our Leech Lake Gaming can deliver the students to one of the gaming sites, and maybe the college can pick them up there. You know, things, just brainstorming ideas to get students to come to campus. Most of our students face challenges with childcare, mental health, employment, ability to keep employment or find employment. Over 80% of our students have reported that they have, in the last year, had barriers to accessing food and housing, so they've been food insecure and housing insecure. Pretty close to half of our students have issues accessing the internet. Most of our students do their homework on their phone, although my daughter goes to the U and she also does her homework on phone. And of course, as Chief King said, you know, access to computer equipment and those kind of first world luxuries is also problematic. One of the things, and this is one of my least and most favorite slides, because it's a really personal slide, but I also want you to be aware of this and just give you a sense of what my daily life is like, or our daily life is like at the college. I put a slide here where our students, and this is not based on any particular students, just kind of a conglomeration or an amalgamation of students, some of the barriers and some of the things that we as educators at the college hear from students, myself, our student services, and others, are on slide number something that does not have a title. But on the top of it, it says 3 out of 5 LLC students say. So 3 out of 5 of our students ask for help, just about. Sometimes 5 out of 5 ask for help. Some of the things that we hear from our students, we shouldn't be. So my job here, not here, but my job as president and our job as faculty and staff is to make sure that we alleviate some of these barriers in the best way that we can. And again, I go back to the infusion of funding that we received, and I have to thank Representative Keeler again for sparking that spark, because some of the funding that we have received from the state of Minnesota has allowed us to employ a mental health provider, somebody who is around and available to students, staff, and faculty. Students have come to, you know, this person also manages emergency aid and other assistance. So students have a safe place to go and ask for help when they need it or when they're struggling with some of the issues that they have. I also included a slide to just kind of give you a preview about what kind of aid we give to students. This is a slide called LLCC Aid to Students. I grabbed these numbers probably from about 2023 or so. So, During that year, we spent over $100,000 on student aid. We support students through emergency aid with things like gas money, car repairs, tires, childcare, back rent, cell phones, things like that. We also provide emergency aid to our students. Emergency aid is just something where, you know, I ran out of money this month. Can I have, you know, I need $20 for groceries, or I need $30, you know, for gas or something like that. So we provide that as well to our students at the college. And, of course, providing that aid really, really helps us retain students and help them persist from semester to semester. And, again, the funding that we have received from the state is going to help with those recruitment and retention efforts, because that is what our students need. Our students need to be able to make it to school, have childcare, and have access to food and goods. I want to talk a little bit about our staff and faculty. We have excellent faculty at our school. You know, I went to an R1 school. That's where I received my PhD. I went to the University of Nevada, Las Vegas. Go Rebels. My team is the Raiders, the Los Angeles Raiders. I'm just kidding. I grew up in Los Angeles. So, I went to UNLV, and it's a tough school, and it was a good, robust school. And I have taken classes with Professor Elaine Fleming, History of Leech Lake. And man, I don't want to tell you what grade I got in that class, because it's embarrassing. Our classes are really great at preparing our students to think critically, collaborate, do teamwork, all the things that employers are asking for in graduates. So I'm really proud of our staff and faculty, and I'm proud of our students. However, our faculty are making $10,000 to $20,000 less per year than faculty at any of the colleges in the nation and in Minnesota, including our administration, and that gap is even worse. So again, the funding that we've received is going to help us bridge that, so that we can retain that good faculty, and we don't have to be, you know, a feeder school to other institutions after somebody kind of gets a little bit experience in higher ed. I have just an informational slide on funding. This is basically the breakdown of our funding. Our average budget is about $5 million per year. Our main funding sources is Title III, Parts A and F, the BIE funding, which is based on Indian student count, Bureau of Indian Education is based on student count. That formula, to me, mathematically is disadvantageous. We, of course, get funding from grants. Many of those are frozen right now. We can't access them. And, of course, we have the Minnesota State $1 million a year contribution, which, as I mentioned, been a help. I have a really boring slide about TCU funding. I'd like to skip it. this is just... I have a slide called TCU funding. No more?
I think we have a question. So, Representative Cleburne?
Yes. I'm so sorry to interrupt.
Yeah.
You said it so quickly. So you said you get the Title III money, Parts A and F, mm-hmm. and then the BIE is the Indian student ratio. Is that correct? Is that what you said?
Yes. The BIE funding, so in order for us to be, obviously for tribal colleges to be eligible for BIE funding, we need to have a Native American or Alaska Native student enrollment of 50% plus one.
50%.
And the way that funding is computed is we have to report all of our Native American or Alaska Native students. We kind of report the number of them, how many credits they're enrolled in, and then those credits are divided by the FTE, right, which I think for BIE is 33 credits. So let's say if we're enrolling 100 students and each of them is enrolled in 6 credits, we might only have 50 full-time students, right? To me, that funding is disadvantageous. That application of the formula is disadvantageous. My background is in statistics and research methods, but to me, that's disadvantageous because
because it's a catch-22. Many of our students face barriers to the point where they can't be enrolled full-time. Right. So when we're serving, you know, when we're serving 100 students, we're allocating resources for 100 students, but the resources we get is only for 50 students. I'm just using really broad examples. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's very helpful to me. And then you mentioned the grants, and you said, I think you said they were frozen. Are those state grants or federal grants?
They're federal grants. We have a USDA grant. Some of them are in various states of availability right now. So that's a large part of my day, going to be today and tomorrow, figuring out what's available and what's not.
And what percentage of
Representative Cleburne.
I'm so sorry, Madam Chair.
I know, we've been going back and forth, so I'm going to interrupt again. Representative Cleburne.
I am so sorry. Thank you, Madam Chair. I apologize. And if I could ask just the percentage of those grants.
Yeah, go ahead, Representative Cleburne. You have the floor.
I was just curious as to the percentage of this nearly $5 million those grants comprise.
Dr. Montgomery.
And if you don't have it today, that's okay.
I would say between 20 and 30%.
Right. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. And again, Madam Chair, I apologize.
That's okay. I was
just in my headspace. I apologize.
Okay. Very good. So we'll let you finish your presentation, and then we'll take a few questions. And I see you have a testifier, too. And you still have 10 minutes or so. Okay. So we are good on time, Dr. Montgomery.
All right. TCU funding, boring slide, a lot of bullet points. We can read through that. But essentially, it sort of gives you the layout of how we're funded. The federal government does not give us funding for non-beneficiary students or non-native students. The only funding or support we do receive for those students is through the state of Minnesota, as we report on those. And I do not believe the BIE has ever met the recommended student allowance. Somebody told me that it was recommended in 1978, and I'm like, that seems really, really far, far ago, and it seems like a really large amount for that time, but one of the other presidents told me that. I don't know the exact year when the recommendation came down. I know we're not at that point, but we are at the highest right now that we could have been. So I'm actually at my pretty much last slide. I put a little budget for the Minnesota funding funds, just so the committee can see kind of broadly where we're spending it. The reports are available. You can look it up, and, you know, I'll be happy to provide any information. However, the aid that we've gotten from the state, we're roughly spending in these buckets, in these areas. So our IT infrastructure is bad. In fact, yesterday, I think we were meeting with the Department of Ed, and our internet just went out. And, you know, we had to, like, hop on our phone hotspot. So we need to rebuild our IT infrastructure. We're going to, you know, we as tribal colleges, and I think my colleagues here will support me in this, we're really, really, we're required to report on ourselves a lot. So most institutions have the iPads, you know, National Student Clearinghouse, and other maybe type of state reporting. We have to report those. We report to Minnesota State. We report to the American Indian Higher Education Consortium. And we report to our various, you know, grants, obviously, as well. So we do have a lot of reporting to do. We do not have the capacity, the person capacity, to do that reporting. It's really difficult to hire people who are really good at that stuff. I came to the college as the director of assessment and institutional research. I know the work, the data work, and it is difficult to attract people like that because the skill is rare and they want a lot of money and they don't want to move far away. So I'm really looking forward to stabilizing that part of our college. It's important, and it's important for me as a leader, for us as staff and faculty to understand ourselves. I think data are beautiful. But it's also important for our compliance with the various entities that we're involved in. We obviously want to invest in student recruitment and retention. We have a lot of really good ideas about how to retain our students. Many of them have to do with just simple things like transportation, childcare, and other forms of of aid so that students, our students can focus on going to school. One of the things that I would love to see us start eventually is some new programs. We are looking at a human services or a social work program. That is a high need for us. We're also looking at other programs. I would love to start a nursing program at the college. It is a really expensive thing to start. It is obviously a critical need. We all know that. But we do want to look at that eventually, depending on how stable our funding is. We obviously want to market ourselves better. It's really, really essential and important to us to continue to provide the students and community with cultural wellness and spiritual opportunities. That is at the heart of our college. It's at the heart of what we do. It's a part of our college. I would like to invite everyone to please come and visit our college. When you step on the campus of our college, you know it's a tribal college. There is a spirit to the college that lives there that's amazing. We, of course, want to support our students' academic excellence, students who are moving on to other degrees, continue to kind of help them through the college, whether through mentoring programs or even kind of check-in programs, things like this. And one of the dreams that I have, and I think this will be the first, well, I don't think I know, this will be the first time for the college, is I would like to implement a wage scale for our employees. Our employees haven't had COLA in maybe 5 or 7 years, like steady COLA increases. So I would like to implement a wage scale to give my people some stability and reward them for their work. The following slide is just this, but in numbers. And I will be happy to answer any questions, and then Alyssa can talk about the college and her experience.
Thank you, Dr. Montgomery. I see you have a testifier. Would you like to state your name for the record and proceed with your testimony, and then we'll take questions. We have about 5 minutes or so left of the presentation.
Bonjour, Alyssa Lisi, Nindigena Kaz, Manidu, Benesi Kwe, Nindigena Kondigu, Adik Nindudam. My name is Alyssa Lisi, and I am currently enrolled in the business management at Leech Lake Tribal College, and I also have attended other colleges where I have another degree, and I would like to, my dream is to go on with the preparation the Leech Lake Tribal College has given me for my bachelor's and my master's, and then my dream is to open a healthcare facility on our reservation, which is much needed. And none of this would be possible without the Leech Lake Tribal College. They have given me the support, the cultural identity. I've learned my language. They have resources, programs. They provided laptops. Like she mentioned, President Montgomery, food support, gas support, even diapers. And without the staff, I would not have been able to maintain my 4.0, which I have the entire time I've been at the Leech Lake Tribal College. So I really hope with the funding that one day I can finish my nursing career at the Leech Lake Tribal College.
Great. Anyway. Thank you so much for your testimony. Any member questions? Representative Scott.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for being here. Thank you for this great overview. And I just had a question on your last slide with kind of your budget. I know part of the $1 million or roughly that the state gave to you in aid in the past was for maintenance. And so I'm just wondering, I didn't see like maintenance on here. Is that under another category? I'm assuming you have maintenance costs.
I think it's probably under either supplies or equipment.
Okay.
Representative Scott.
All right. Thank you, Madam Chair.
And honestly, I may Dr. not Montgomery. Have typed it out correctly because I was hand retyping that yesterday late at night.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And thank you also for your presentation. And it is really exciting to hear about this. And I'm just wondering, maybe I missed it. I see the slide about the number of graduates per year, but I didn't see anything about just number of enrollment. And I wonder if there's a trend in how your enrollment is going.
Dr. Montgomery.
There is. I'm sorry, you know, being the data person that I am, I left out the most important piece of data. So, yes, so we have trended up. Just like President King mentioned, our numbers are similar in terms of the increase in our enrollment. So when I became president in 2021, we had 107 or 108 students maybe enrolled. I think we hit over 300 in 2004, in the fall of 2004. We're a little bit down this semester, but yes, we've increased, I want to say, we've increased by about 10 to 16% each year.
Representative Liebling? Good. Okay, any other questions from members? Representative Hicks.
Thank you so much, both of you, for being here. I heard you talk about the wages that you're trying to invest in your staff, and I think that's wonderful. When you look at long term and what it would take to keep your staff, do you feel like you're on the right trajectory to be able to do that? When you said they hadn't gotten a COLA for 5 to 7 years, my heart just stopped for just a moment, because I imagine that makes it really hard to keep your high quality folks. So when you look, you know, forward looking, do you see the ability to continue that growth? And if not, what are your concerns?
Dr. Montgomery.
Well, so that's a really good question, and I'm not stalling for time. It's just a really tiring answer. So one of the things that, you know, the first thing that I did before we move forward with wage scale implementation is we implemented a pretty robust layoff and furlough policy for our employees. And we did that because we didn't have one and because our funding is just not stable enough to where I can make that commitment long term. We have created the wage scale and step advancement. We've the way that we've conceptualized the scale, the wage scale, allows us to flex between step advancement and cost of living increases to maximize the affordability of our wage scale of affordability of the wage scale for the college. The wage scale, for us as a college, for all tribal colleges, but for us specifically, the way that we budget, one of the trickiest things and kind of incentivizing things is because our Bureau of Indian Education funding is based on ISC, on Indian student count, we can, and we received the funding kind of a couple of years back, so we're, you know, so we have, if we get enrollment, right, so we're able to kind of anticipate what's coming a little bit more than if we weren't funded in this way. So I think there is an incentive component to it, meaning that, you know, if we recruit and retain students, right, if we put time and effort into recruitment retention and allowing our students to be enrolled full time, and by removing some of these barriers or mediating some of these barriers, then we'll have good enrollment, we'll have good student count, and then yes, we can afford, you know. So I'm trying to create sort of a trajectory of growth that will motivate and perpetuate, you know, into the future. However, I also am trying to back myself up with policy just in case stuff falls apart. We have a way to stop the wage scale or make sure we're meeting our students' needs first and then deal with the staff issues. That's a good question.
Thank you so much for your presentation. We do have to move on, but it looks like I think we're out of questions anyway. So, but thank you so much, Dr. Montgomery, for the great presentation and getting all of the detail. I especially like the last slide, so that helps us a lot. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Next up, the last group up is White Earth Tribal and Community College, and Ms. Shepherd, the president, will start us out. And before they start, members, there is a spreadsheet in your packet, even though it doesn't say it's for White Earth. This is the White Earth numbers that they have. So if you've got that with your slide presentation. So with that, Ms. Shepherd, the president of White Earth Tribal and Community College, please present yourself to the committee. Let us know your name and start with your presentation. Thank you so much for being here today.
Yes, thank you, Madam our Chair, and then also to the committee. So I am Anna Shepherd. I'm the president at White Earth Tribal and Community College.
Wonderful. Thank you so much. And I think we're, well, as soon as the slideshow comes up, you can start the presentation. I think they're making sure it's going to come up this time. Well, staff is working on that, President Shepherd. Why don't you introduce us to your two testifiers?
Yes. I believe there should be three on there.
Now we see it.
Okay.
Yes, thank you.
For some reason, hers wasn't working, so sorry about that. Do you still want me to do the testifiers or start with the presentation?
You can just go to the presentation, and we'll get to them after the presentation.
Perfect.
Thank you, President Shepherd.
Thank you. So this is our committee report, and so we're just going to talk about the 23 to 25 year on this one. And that's a picture of our campus, so you get to see that. I wish I had a better aerial picture for you, but we are going to be shaped like a turtle once we finish building this, so it's going to be really cool. But where you do see is like the head of the turtle and the one of his arms. We were established in the fall of 1997. We are a TCU, so a tribal college and university. Like they mentioned, we are a 1994 land grant institution, so we have those three pillars that we reached to, the education, research, and also, I will just write a blank right now. Extension. Sorry about that. We are also HLC accredited, so we started this process in 2004, and we just had our reaffirmation, the Big Ten year, happened in October 2024, and so we continue to have that one. And it just like President King and President Montgomery talked about, I'm not going to go into much detail about that. Just feel like you guys got the gist of what that's about. We offer some programs and degrees at our college. The majority of our students do take the Associate of Arts degree. We also have three credit-bearing certificates, being the Ojibwe language, office administration, and also the court advocacy. We also offer numerous workforce development short training certificate programs, and those are solar certificate, CDA, EMT. We also have some partnerships that we work with, like Alec Tech for the CDL, partnership with Northwest Technical College for CNA, Special Boilers License, SurfSafe, and then also partnering with the Minnesota Center of Excellence with cybersecurity. And we have others, but those are just the more popular ones that a lot of our community takes.
Representative Liebling.
Thank you. I'm so sorry to interrupt. Could you just, I'm not familiar with all of these.
Oh.
If you could just say, like, what is CDA?
Mm-hmm. President Shepherd.
Okay. I'm so sorry about that. I'm just so used to just saying this. Yes, we are very notorious for that in higher education, just talking in our acronyms. CDA would be Child Certificate, so the Child Development Associate. So it's a short-term program that you pretty much need to teach for like Head Start, you know, child cares on that one. EMT would be your emergency medical technician. You know, it's a short-term, again, certificate there. CDL, so sorry about that. It says CLD, but should be CDL. so that would be for getting your 18-wheeler certificate there. Your CNA would be your certificate of nursing degree. Let's see, special boilers just to, you know, offer, you know, with your HVAC systems. SurfSave, if you work in like restaurants or anything to that nature, you know, just handling foods, temperatures, et cetera, on that one. Cybersecurity, that's a growing issue, especially with our IT, just making sure that, you know, we're having accurate systems. So I hope I answered your questions there. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, President Shepherd. You can continue.
Okay, so I just want to talk about some of the student impacts that we have had here. And so, again, a lot of pictures here, so that way you don't have to just look at me. You can look at some of those awesome pictures. But it has helped with recruitment. And so we're able to, you know, just do just more people to do that, and you have more dollars for this one. And so those are just some of the pieces of current students. So you can see we have from young all the way up to our elders in there. It's kind of neat just to see why they're going to school and what they're doing. So I appreciate that. Next one is retention. And so we're going to have a presentation from our dean a little bit later in the presentation. She'll go into that in more detail with that one. But we have seen a significant increase in our retention with our students. Also, we have an impact with our student engagement and our sense of belonging. And so our testifier from our student perspective, we'll talk in more detail about that one. We've also increased accessibility to our technology resources, which is a huge piece for ours, especially during COVID times. We had a lot of our students sitting outside just to get on because even if they had a hotspot, they weren't able to access the technology just because there's, you know, too many trees, et cetera. So they had to be in a place where they could get on. So a lot of times, even though we were working from home, we had a lot of students in, you know, our parking lot. Also, we had an increase in student and staff well-being. And so we really encourage a lot of our staff just to get outside and help. And especially we talked about we're in a food desert, you know, so this, we have different pieces out there. So you can see they're out there helping with some of our crops. And then we're going to talk about the development of interactive student success data dashboard. So with this funding, it has helped with this and helped with the finance. So I would like to turn it over to our dean at this time.
Welcome to the committee. Please state your name for the record and continue with your testimony.
Can you hear me okay?
We can hear you.
Anine Bourjou, Dr. Tracy Diefenbach, Indigenous Cause Na'andawi Ikwe is my name. I have served 26 years in higher education. I was born and raised at the White Earth Reservation. I am enrolled there. I started my journey. We didn't have an official tribal college in our hometown when I left this area. And to pay for college, I had to join the military. I am first generation, served 10 years, and when I got out of the military after a tour in Iraq, I came back, and my goal is to build communities and focus on educating our communities. So after my endeavors, I wanted to take what I've learned in education and bring it home, and we have. I've been at White Earth Tribal and Community College now, going on my third year. It is great to bring back, you know, what I've learned to the community. One of the, you want to look at your return on investment of what this money has done for our tribal colleges. And I cannot stress enough how critical this funding is to support the initiatives of building stronger communities. Our communities, as President Shepherd said, we struggle. 98% of our student population receive Pell and emergency aid. Without emergency aid funding, without our funding, infrastructure funding such as this, our students would not have these opportunities to achieve what I've been able to achieve in my career. So this opportunity created staffing positions. My primary focus is statistics. I'm data driven in academics. But the first when I come home was understanding what does our community need and what does our student body need. Our mission is we're grounded in Anishinaabe culture, values, and traditions, and that's a huge component of what we do at the Tribal College. Everything that we do has to be grounded in our traditional ways of learning, and that is non-traditional from, you know, Western ways of learning. We're very hands-on learners. Data supports these initiatives. One of the big pieces of this funding gave me the staff to put into place to develop something that most schools do not have. I wanted an interactive data dashboard. There's tons of data resources out there, but none that truly evaluated a tribal college. We're learning this with iPads and reporting out. We don't report the same. So we needed a data dashboard that could look at 5,000 different data sections of our student population. So the team that I was able to hire with funding, I gave them a vision. I said, I want to know the exact health of our students, the exact health of our programming, what the students need versus culture in class learning. I wanted to look at the curriculum in depth, all the way down to the number of missing assignments by student every term, and it's live. So this dashboard was created, and it again evaluates 5,000 data points. And when we look at applying for grants, they need data to support our missions. So what we have now is this interactive dashboard was built with Power BI. We tied it into our SIS and our LMS system. So what this does is we've created live feedback loops. I can pull any student at any time in any class. I can see if they've communicated with their faculty, if the faculty have communicated back. I can see how many assignments they're missing. I can see which assignments they're struggling with the most. It shows me an update of every assignment, every submission, all the way down to instructor feedback. So this has helped with retention. So we started in fall with this initiative. Our enrollment went up 16%. Because what this dashboard also does is it gives me a live interactive projection of our strategic plan. So I can project how many students are going through the recruitment process, the areas that we need to target, and with the use of this data, we've seen a 16% increase from fall to spring already. For student retention, so we went from 122 students prior census to 144 in one enrollment period. We are projected to go from 144 to 250 by fall of 2025. And those students are in the queue right now. So we are growing with this initiative. This is a performance-based SEM strategic plan. This tells me exactly down to the key of who we need to be recruiting, what areas. This system has a heat map built into it. It tells me how many students have applied by county, by state. It also tells me if they're at risk, high risk, or could be at risk based on how they communicate during the enrollment process. So this has really moved us forward. We're working with the American Indian College Fund. They are thrilled with this. They don't have this. So we are looking at a $1.9 million grant to assist us in this from them, where we actually build this out and it becomes a resource for other tribal colleges. Plus it helps it provides the direct feedback into our iPads, and we're working on doing a live feedback into AIMS and our other reporting mechanisms. So a big picture on this. With the 16% increase in enrollment, okay, from fall to spring, just in the short term that we've had this, we've had a 78% jump in student retention, term to term. And what this did for our student success coaches is they were actually able to pull every single individual student, sit down with them. We have a peer-to-peer mentor network with this now, so students can also see their progress. So that has helped with our student retention. Social sense of belonging, we've seen a 34% increase in participation in co-curricular activities. The other thing we got from this, we're working with the Minnesota Center of Excellence. We are going to be integrating at the student's request through this success data. We're looking at integrating specific programming into the two-year degree. So it's kind of a merit-based education where if they're taking business classes, they get a micro-credential in cybersecurity or something along those lines related to IT. A lot of our students, they want to stay in their communities. Over 67% want to stay in their communities, and they want to build the tribe. They want to build nonprofits. They want to build businesses. They want to build food sovereignty practices and energy resources. So with the goal of integrating these particular certificates into the two-year degree, when our students graduate and want to go back to their community, they've already had internships, externships. They're working directly with community members in the fields that they're interested in. We're also working with NASA. Our students are going to NASA. We're working on different STEM projects for them, so with the Department of Natural Resources. So our students are getting out learning how to protect our waters, protect our land, protect our animals. So it's all hands-on activities, plus they're getting micro-credentialing at the same time. We are starting these initiatives based on this feedback. Another big component of this is peer-to-peer mentor networking. The Mentor Collective is part of this funding as well. We could not build these resources for our students without this. We understand what you're looking for in terms of data, and the exciting part about this is now I can go to the state and say, look what we're doing, and here's the proof. It'll update minute by minute and hour by hour on the health of our students. So we're really proud of those initiatives. We're also working on the Grow Your Own program. As previous tribal colleges presidents have discussed, it is very difficult to hire educated Native Americans, indigenous people, because of lack of opportunity or for simply with our student body, they don't believe they can do it. So we're putting the resources in place to give them the confidence to say, I am from a small community, I can learn, here's my opportunities. And then they go back to their community, and that's how we improve our communities. That's how we improve workforce development with our populations. And we're also doing family-oriented pieces with this because from Anishinaabe Ojibwe culture, family is important to us. So we're putting measures into place coming up for fall. Not only are we going to be educating our students, but their families are their support system, and we're going to be offering opportunities for their families and for them to learn together. So those are huge components that have stemmed from this data point. So we're excited about that. Other numbers, we are at 61% graduation rate. Our students are taking an interactive approach to their education. We're teaching them, this is your journey, you own your journey and be proud of your journey. So our advisors were working closely and getting to know these students through this data. Mentor Collective also is going to be providing mental health resources and things for not just them, but their families. So that's huge to us. The transferability piece comes with a two-year college. We ensure that they meet transferability. That's the easy part. The most difficult part is getting them to believe that they can do this, because they are impoverished or they're coming from very difficult situations, and putting those tools in place so they can achieve their goals. Most of the students that sit with me, As a dean, I know everyone, every single student, and I know their stories. But most students, they're doing this to prove to their families that they can do this. So if we can teach them, their children, that they can do this, they're giving back to their community and we're improving our communities. Thank you, McWitch.
Thank you, Dean. Thank you so much. That was amazing. I think all of us were sitting here looking at your dashboard and in amazement. I can't wait for that to be a tool for many, many other places as well. Fantastic work. So I'll turn it over to your next testifier, if you would state your name for the record and then continue with your testimony.
My name is Deidre Berg. I guess I'm an enrolled member on the Whiters Reservation, and I'm actually really nervous to be here today. But a little bit about me is I come from a background of addiction and abuse, feeling from very young age growing up to getting in my own relationship to getting out of it, and I never thought I would be here. I never thought I would ever be here, like, doing what I'm doing today. I didn't even think I'd ever go to college, actually. So being in the college, the welcoming community, all of the support, everything that I have there is so important to me because it's just something I never thought I would ever have. It's nothing I ever wanted, actually, if I'm being honest. But I went over to an open house event that they had one day because I live right across the street from the school, and one of the student success coaches came up to me and she's like, "Hi, I'm Raven." And I was like, "Oh, hi." She's like, "So are you interested in going to college?" I'm like, "Kind of, I am." I said, "But I was really just coming for the food and, you know, for my kids to jump at the bouncy house." She's like, "Oh my gosh." And she just started talking to me, and everybody there was just so welcoming and so, I just felt so like I belonged for once in my life. And so I decided to take the acupuncture test and I did everything, and pretty soon I was in college, and I actually was really nervous, and I had a hard time at first, but then after reaching out and after the staff seeing how hard of a time I was having reaching out, I was able to get tutoring. They have tutors in the library, they have tutors in classrooms, there's so much support there that I can't even name it all. But without the tribal college, I wouldn't be here today. I wouldn't be who I am today. I wouldn't know about my culture. I wouldn't know about my history. I wouldn't know, because I was raised white. My dad was, don't know how, but he was a prejudiced man. My mom was native. And it was just really weird growing up, you know what I mean? Like being something and then told, like, this isn't what you are, and they're like dirty people. You know what I mean? So like for me, it was really conflicting. So being able to go to the college and like learn about my history and my ancestors and figure out who I am is just so important to me. And just the idea of thinking that could go away is terrifying. So I don't know. That's all I have to say.
Well, thank you, Ms. Berg. Thank you so much for your testimony. I'm glad you stuck with it. We're very happy and very proud of you.
Thank you.
President Shepherd, do you have another testifier?
I do.
Wonderful. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you.
Please state your name for the record and continue with your testimony.
I'm Jean Ostrom, finance advisor at White Earth Tribal College. Deidre forgot to tell you what her title is, though, among the student body. It is student senate president. Wow.
I've also been to Washington, D.C. twice. So. Yeah.
So one of the things that I've been tasked with doing is talking to you about the challenges that we've had with the funding. And so I don't want this in any way to diminish any of the testimony that's come before this. So at the end, if you remember what came before me, that would be the best, I think. One of the things that we also struggle with is business continuity. And so a lot of the funding has gone to shore up some of our critical administrative functions, particularly in the counting area. So I am a product of your funding, if you will. Spent 35 years in higher education and semi-retired, and now working at the Tribal College in a position where my grandmother went to boarding school. So it's kind of a cool reversal of roles. Looking at the funding, 78% of our funding has traditionally been federal funding. So with the infusion of these dollars from the state, we're able to bring that ratio down to about 65%, which is really nice for us because it allows us to do some of these things like Tracy was talking about, our data dashboard. As you know, federal funding is a contract. So what you get the funding for, that's what you have to do. So if you have these brilliant ideas for other things, you don't really have the latitude or the flexibility to do that. So this funding is doing that for us. We got a slow start on the funding, so the funding became available July 1st, but we did not receive the funding until March 1st, and nothing could be pushed back, so there was a delay because of all the budget bills that went before, and then we got the word that we needed to do a budget, so we did that, so then we couldn't start spending until March 1st, so that's almost 9 to 10 month delay in spending. And so if that's something that could be addressed in this next go-around, that would be great, so that we could start spending as of July 1st. That would be very helpful to us. The other thing that we do struggle with, and being a certified public accountant, I understand it. We're a risk at this point. So we have to turn in 100% of our timesheets, our paychecks, every single invoice that we have has to get turned in. So we just worked with the finance director yesterday on the month of January, and that took about 4 hours to do. So if we can, in this next go around, be considered less of a risk, that would be great as well. So those are kind of the challenges that we faced with the funding. Definitely need the funding, and you can see from all the testimony that's gone before me how great that the ramifications of that funding have been for all of us.
Well, thank you, Ms. Ostrom. Do we have any member questions or comments? Okay, I'm not seeing any. Okay, we do have one. Representative Robbins.
Thank you.
Sorry. Thank you for your presentation and for your great work. So I have to say I'm kind of in awe of this dashboard situation. Like, can you tell us, like, what budget, how many staff people, how long it took to pull this off? Like, I know a lot of places in state government, we need that. So, like, could you just tell me a little bit more about how this happens?
Yes. So with funding, we're used to working on shoestring budgets. So we were able to hire, we have two staff that work on this, one particularly for full-time and our IT individual. We started the data dashboard idea back in August of this last year, but we weren't able to really put it to fruition until about December 1st. So we built the platform that we needed, the reporting structure we needed. We used Power BI within our own Microsoft, so our IT and my data person were able to take Power BI and teach Microsoft looping through AI and API pulls. So I put together a list of over 100 API pulls that I needed for reporting mechanisms. Our IT person was able to use ChatGPT, Copilot, and Python to build the loops to teach Canvas how to work and pull data from Populi without violating FERPA. And we also pulled over 700 loops through this to teach it to scrub the data, so I don't even have to scrub my data. Are there challenges with this? Yes. But so within our budget, if you're looking at the total cost between the SIS, the LMS, Power BI, and Microsoft, you're looking at about $56,000 a year that it will evolve to in 1 year if we continue this. The server that I need to actually run this, if we're going to build this out, is going to cost about another $56,000. We've had other institutions already reach out to us wanting this platform. So that's with two staff. And I will tell you that between December 1st, I worked with the team on building the AI loops, the feedback loops, and the data pull loops. We also put modifiers in these loops to prevent AI from copying the loop and using it somewhere else. So we built in our own security. We tested it. It has been protected so far. But you would actually need probably about 7 to 10 staff to run one data dashboard. So if I could have more staff, this would be amazing for us. And I would say that within about 60 days, we had 5,000 data pulls that were live.
Wow. Okay. If you saw the reaction of the committee members, they are in awe. So I'm going to go back to Representative Robbins, and then we'll go to Representative Hansen.
Wow. I mean, that's incredible, both with the small amount of staff and the small budget. And I hope lots of people in state government are listening because it can be done. As Representative Allen was telling me, he said, you know, if you wanted to hire yourselves out as consultants or put your model out there, I'm sure you could make a lot of money for the tribal college. So it's very impressive. And first of all, really appreciate and value your ingenuity and your success. And, you know, maybe some other time, you know, I could learn more from you because we're looking at a statewide grants management system. And
this can do it.
We need help. So thank you very much.
Thank you, Representative Robbins. We do need your help. So I think we should all take a visit up to White Earth in Minoman County and go come visit you.
We are currently building our grants management piece into this. So every grant I have is tied to our data. So I know exactly the budget I need for student retention enrollment. They are working on these sheets now. They just updated our missing assignments piece. So now our missing assignments piece can feed back into our students to let them know what assignments they're missing. It also gives notification to instructors. But we're also looking at this from our PR perspective for balancing, too, for our trial balances and things like that, all using Power BI, which I've been in data for over 26 years and worked in it, and people that are experts in the field didn't know Power BI could do these things.
Well, so Dean, this is quite impressive, quite impressive. Representative Hansen.
Thank you, Chair. And thank you so much for these presentations to all everybody who presented today. I've had the opportunity to visit Redley Colleges, and I can't wait until I can visit some more of them. I know you travel so far to get here to share this information with us, too. So thank you for taking the time out of your day. This is an entire day trip. And I just want everyone to recognize how far they come to give us this information and to give us an opportunity to all sit here and say, wow, at how amazing all of you are doing and the model of excellence that you are showing that it is possible in higher education and doing a lot with a little. And I have to say to your testifier, I too was a first generation college graduate that came from a background where I wasn't supposed to be here either. And I'm so proud of you. So congratulations. And I'm going to tear up if I talk about it more. So thank you so much. Congratulations for that and for sharing your story and letting us see what the power of higher education looks like. And for all of you who testified, all the students, having families who are here together, having folks who are here to just look forward to what that future looks like, I think is a testimony to how powerful a few million dollars can be when we invest in folks who know what the power of sovereignty looks like. And when we invest in that and we trust that and we partner and we have these valuable relationships together. And I just really, I can't say enough how exciting it is to get this feedback this year after what we put together last year, hoping for this moment. And these numbers are numbers that everybody in this country should be really excited about. I'm really excited to hear about the social work program that Leech Lake is doing too. We are short on social workers, so thank you so much for your commenting on that and helping us fill that gap as well. The student support services and doing personalized, individualized student supports, I think is something every college on this in this state and this country, honestly, could benefit from. Because we see that the universities that do that and the colleges that do that always have better outcomes. Because individualized case planning and all of that is so super important. The peer programs and the family supports, because we're all parts, little hanging parts of families, right? We're all a part of something. And so supporting the whole family in this is just really, really valuable. So thank you for sharing with us. Thank you for educating people. Thank you for building generations of change that will last centuries. Thank you.
Thank you so much for coming. And this is the reason that I would sit alongside of Representative Keeler to present this O&M for all of the tribal colleges, because it was that important. And I mean, you blew me out of the water, to be honest. All three blew me out of the water. I can't believe what you did with $1 million a year. I wish all of the money that we sent out for $1 million a year had this kind of return. So impressive. Thank you, President. Thank you, wonderful Dean. The dashboard. We'll be talking about that dashboard for years to come, just so you know. And thank you, the finance advisor, Ostrom. And, of course, the wonderful student Senate chair. You didn't even say that when you came up. The student Senate chair. So thank you all for coming. Thank you to the other tribal nations that have come with the tribal colleges. And with that, members, we are adjourned.